You know, when I wrote the song Empty Me that we opened up with this morning all those years ago, four or five years ago, it was at a time in my life when I was full of myself in some ways, and full of some regrets for some things, and unmet wishes on other things, and I had found that I had put up several roadblocks between me and Christ. And at that time, we were living in the parsonage, and every morning I would hang out the bathroom window. I started that habit before there was a park behind us. And I would just hang out the bathroom window and pray every morning with the birds in the trees or the ice in the trees, depending on the season. And I was hanging out that window one morning, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, where you just can't pray. It just, nothing comes, and you're at this dead end. And I was there, and I was hanging half out the window at this dead end. And I remember looking down and just saying, empty me of me, Lord, and fill me up with you. And that became my mantra and prayer that I still return to sometimes this day. When there are obstructions in my life or things that are keeping me from getting closer to God. And this story this morning, if you know how to read it and you know how to look at it, is all about a person who was filled up with so much stuff but was completely barren, and the effects of one meeting with Christ on this individual, from the fourth chapter of John. So Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share in common things with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it? Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them, they will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come back. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me. The hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. And Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, what do you want, or why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city, and she said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He can't be the Messiah, can he? They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, surely no one has brought him something to eat. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Now many Samaritans from that city believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you have said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, y'all have heard the saying about India, only mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the noonday sun. You don't go out in the noonday sun in Israel either. You just don't do that in the middle of the day. The sun is beating down. It's about 140 in the shade, if there was any shade, which there isn't. The rocks are baked. Your feet burn. And that's why all the women go to the well early in the morning to get their water for their household for the day. Early in the morning, that's when they do it. What time was it that Jesus was there? It was noon, midday. There was one woman out at the well getting water. Now, why was she there in the middle of the day instead of in the morning when all the other women came? Well, she's probably sick of being cut to ribbons by all the folks in town, talking about the 5 husbands she's gone through, the man she's living with in sin, shunning her, whispering behind their hands. It's probably all she could take. Probably take the hot sun beating down on her, drying out her skin, making her sweat through her clothes over the hot words, the whispers, and the nasty looks. This woman was lost. She was just lost and alone. And alone. And you know, some people, when they're feeling alone and lonely, they'll reach out for the first thing that comes to them. And in this case, well, she could always offer certain physical things to have someone next to her when she woke up in the morning. She was hurting. She was lonely. Isolated, all by herself. She was a Samaritan in a Samaritan village, which the Jews tended to avoid because Samaritans, they were unclean, ritually unclean. They'd interfere with your relationship with God. And so here was this woman who was doubly, triply, quadruply, quintuply unclean. Out there alone. And I can imagine Jesus watching her coming, watching her come up that dusty road all by herself. Probably breathing heavy, struggling with her water jar. I imagine Jesus thinking, here is one lonely, lost little sheep. Now a happy day for her, but it didn't start out that way. She comes to this well and hears this guy talking his religious gobbledygook. And she'd heard from the religious before, I'm sure. She'd probably heard all manner of judgment from the religious before. And so it was, in her time of running from words, running from dirty looks, running from shame, she was running away, but what was she running toward? And when he started with his religious gobbledygook, she started to push him off too and run him away. And she did this by introducing controversies. Let's not talk about faith. Let's not talk about what God wants for me. Let's talk about the biggest controversy of the day. You know, every era has their religion, has their religious controversies that you can instantly start a fight by bringing up. And she does. She starts by saying, "You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. What are you doing talking to me? We're different." Pushing him away. But he wouldn't be pushed away. He says to her, "If you had known the gift of God I have, you would be asking me for a drink. And I'd give you something that'd quench the thirst in your soul forever." Now, this is not your typical religious freak. He's not saying, "Get on your knees, sinner." He is saying, "I've got something you need. I've got something to quench your thirst, your real thirst." But she's going to take things at face value and say, "You don't even have a bucket. Are you going to give me a drink of water?" But he wouldn't relent. He wouldn't relent. He told her what he was offering her was eternal life. Still, and I'm at verse 15 now, talking of spring of water gushing up to eternal life, the woman says to him, "Hey, give me some of that water so I don't have to come back to this stupid well anymore." Still mired in her own stuff. And she's not budging. She's not budging. So Jesus tips his hand a little bit. Tells her, "Yeah? Go call your husband." Ooh. Hitting her right where she lives. On man number 6, this one she didn't even bother to marry. That's what everyone's talking about. That's what everyone's talking about. That's why she's out there at noon. And Jesus pokes at that wound. Now she's ready for the cruelty. She's ready for the hard words to come. She's ready to be made to cry. She is ready for him to rip her to shreds just like everybody else does. And she's probably thinking, "Why did I come at noon? Why didn't I come at 1? She admits he's a prophet. And in this wrestling match that it's becoming, her trying to protect her heart and trying to keep this stranger out, but still finding him attractive, finding something going on, and him just taking a step forward and another step forward toward him. She says to him, a little more controversy, "Hey, we worship here on this mountain. You say we got to go to Jerusalem. Who's right?" A little more controversy. And his answer is, "It doesn't matter where you worship. It doesn't matter anymore, lady. The time is coming, in fact, it's here now, where we'll worship everywhere. Everyone who wants to be close to God's Spirit, every single one who wants to be closer to God will be closer to God. Now, this has to be music to her ears. A woman who won't even go to the well in the morning with the other women, I highly doubt she's going to the temple to be with all the self-righteous, pious, judgmental folks that she's been avoiding all week. And what he's saying to her is, you can worship anywhere you want to be, anywhere that you call on God's Spirit, anywhere that you hunger for truth, and God will hear you. And God will hear you. And with that, our Messiah is stepping up to one lost soul. And that one lost soul is the most important person on all the earth. The whole reason that he's there is for that poor woman who can't even associate with her neighbors. And all that shame and all that hurt and all that difficulty, all the regrets of her entire life, every bad move she's ever made, every crime that's been committed against her, all of it, suddenly, doesn't mean a thing anymore. And what does she do? She goes from reject to recruiter. She runs back to town. And she approaches all those people who sneer at her. And she becomes a priest. She becomes a minister of the gospel. In one conversation, in one pinprick moment, empty me of me, Lord, fill me up with you. In one moment, all the obstacles are thrown aside. All the shame and regret is washed away. And all she can think is how wonderful this is and how much she wants to share it with everybody, including the very people who persecuted her. Now, is that a sign of grace? Or is that a sign of grace? The Spirit is working so powerfully in this woman, who up until just a few seconds ago was the loneliest woman on the planet. And she's different now. She's different. She's changed. You know, we make a habit of running. Usually it starts with us running away from something. And we get running so fast, we don't realize the toll that the running itself takes on us. Letting our regrets, our shames, and our sins just run us ragged. Trying to live a double life. Trying to be just a little bit faster than people's perceptions. Trying hard to put on a front that looks at least normal. But that running takes a toll. Beats up the chassis. Bruises the soul. Until we reach a point where we can't run anymore. And I'm here to tell you that that point, when we stop running away, can be the point where we realize what we've run to. That moment when we just stop and say, I can't do this anymore, is our well moment. And we are the woman at the well. And at that point, our Messiah, our Savior, our brother, our Jesus, is ready to ask the hard questions and give the wonderful answers. Is ready to help us, to be different than we are in a way we can't make ourselves, is ready to whisper, I know, it's all right, it's all right. is ready to make a change in us that can create a change in our world. This Samaritan woman at the well, her life was full of stuff and men and regrets and ways of doing things just to keep from having more bad things happen. Coming out to the well at noon, avoiding everybody else. And then along comes Christ. He turns her mourning into dancing. He sees the child of God, sees how worthy she is of love, and offers to her the living water. Now, if you haven't had a moment like that in your life yet, it's coming. If you've had that moment in your life a time or two already, I don't need to go on because you know exactly what I'm talking about. Somewhere out there right now, your God is waiting for you. Or somewhere in here right now, waiting to restore, to offer love and freedom and acceptance and joy and peace. Stop running. Stop running. There's no reason to run away any longer. The sting of facing the thing that's chasing burns less than the running away. By stopping, setting aside appearances, ceasing to throw up obstacles, your life and mine can turn on a dime and suddenly be so full and so rich and so wonderful. Stop running away. See what you've run to. Amen.